Everyone learns a language for different reasons. Maybe you want to watch K-dramas without subtitles or talk with family members in their native language. Your life is unique. Your language learning should be too. Rosetta Stone, the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years, just launched Rosetta Stone Sapphire, a new app that combines its proven immersion method with the latest innovation and technology to help you learn faster, personalize your lessons, and have more fun along the way. Most language apps teach the same generic topics. Sapphire helps you focus on what you actually want to talk about, whether that's travel, family, work, or your favorite hobbies. If you want to take your language skills to the next level, don't wait to try Rosetta Stone Sapphire. Listeners can get 20% off their Rosetta Stone Sapphire subscription when they sign up today. You'll get unlimited access to all 25 Rosetta Stone languages, plus all the new Sapphire learning tools. Visit rosettastone.com/audio to redeem your 20% off. That's rosettastone.com/audio and start learning a language for real.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Why have we asked our contractor we found on Angie.com to be our kid's legal guardian? Because he took such good care when redoing our basement that we knew we could trust him to care for our kids, all 8 of them, should something happen to us.
Are you my dad now?
No, sorry, I do basements.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
What do you think about the Laker team now?
You follow the box scores of the games every day.
Just the Lakers.
You're kidding. That is really a compliment.
I was pleased to see you smile at the top of our show, because once the game starts, you have a game face. You don't smile much out there.
I don't think you have to do things for money anymore.
Correct.
What's up, Laker fans? Welcome to the Laker Film Room podcast. I'm Pete, joined by Darius. And tonight, our Lakers finish off a road trip. Been a good road team this season with a game at Indiana before they come back home to take on both the Nets and the Wizards. D3 straight against the worst teams in the NBA. Now, we've got several injuries for tonight. We've got Rui, Marcus, and Adu ruled out. DeAndre Ayton has been downgraded to questionable, which is usually a precursor for try not to get fined when I don't play tonight. So I would imagine that Ayton does not play. That said, the Pacers are at the bottom of the conference. Lakers should get the win. Opportunity for guys like Vando and Kleba. Might see some Dalton tonight, I would guess. But D, I wanted to zoom out a little bit and just talk about kind of the position that the Lakers are in. This recent stretch that they've had, despite the loss against Detroit, has really put them in the driver's seat for the 3 seed. So could you set up for us kind of like what the position the Lakers are in terms of being able to lock that down and then maybe even possibly get some rest at the end of this season?
Yeah, Pete, we have not done a standings watch talk in a bit. When the Lakers lost to Detroit, the Chicago Bulls did the Lakers a favor by beating the Houston Rockets on a night in a game that Houston should not have lost. Mm-hmm. And so the Lakers, right now, they're a game and a half up on Denver. They're 2 games up on Minnesota. And Houston has dipped to the 6th seed now. And they are 2.5 games up on Houston. The Lakers have the tiebreaker on all of those teams. So increase all of those numbers by a full game. And that's where the tiebreakers are super important, because the Lakers only have 10 games left in the season, and they're functionally 2.5, 3.5, and 4.5 games up on their opponents, who are in direct competition for them for the 3 seed. And so we're in like magic number territory for starting to figure out exactly what the Lakers have to do to at least get home court advantage in the first round, but really to secure the 3 seed. And the games against the Pacers and the Wizards and the Nets, if they could sweep those games, that's 3 more wins with only 7 games left to go. Imagine if every other team wins their next 3 games as well, then everyone's last 6 or 7 games, they're going to have to go undefeated, and the Lakers would have to not lose out, but go
2-5, something
like
that.
Yeah. Something like that to make up some of these games. And look, the Lakers do have some tricky games in terms of some good opponents over that last stretch. Right after they play the Wizards, they've got a back-to-back against Cleveland. Then they have two more games against OKC, and they've got a game against Phoenix, and Phoenix is going to still be battling, and we know that Phoenix has played the Lakers well this season too. But the Lakers also have games against Golden State and Utah, and then they play at Dallas as well, which is, we know that that game always means something to the Lakers now because of the Luka deal. And so the Lakers are well positioned, Pete, that if they just beat the teams in front of them who they're clearly better than, forget Cleveland and OKC, forget even Phoenix to a certain amount. These other games against the reeling Warriors, for example, who prayers up to Moses Moody.
Oh my God, yes.
That was a terrible injury. So get well soon to Moses Moody. But these teams, Pete, if the Lakers could just win these games against these bad teams, they've set themselves up to get the 3 seed. And I know Denver's healthy now. They're going to make their push. Ant will be back soon enough. Minnesota's going to make their push. We'll see if Houston can sort of recover and find their way a little bit. But all these teams are bunched together. But the Lakers, they're in the driver's seat for real here. Yeah. And I do think this game against the Pacers is a interesting, low-key important game.
Yeah.
Just from that perspective of, no, this is a team that has been bad. They've lost 15 of their last 16 games. These are the wins you kind of need to get just to keep your spot, you know?
Absolutely. And I'm going to be nervous about every game on some level. I think that's healthy to, you know, have a proper respect for the opponent and whatnot. But the Pacers are the type of team, too, that they push the pace, right? They play, obviously, Halliburton injury totally changed their team and they're tanking. They've lost 15 of 16, but they will play with a level of speed that if and when the Lakers unplug and they're like, we don't really feel like we need to compete too much tonight, then that is exactly the attribute that they're most susceptible to, is just teams that try hard and go and go and go. That said, I think this recent stretch where they've been really a lot more locked in, I'm curious about how long they can sustain it. Those are sort of my bigger questions on the Lakers. It all has to do with sustainment. Like, can LeBron athletically sustain them being able to lock in on defense and compete for a full 48 or most of that 48? Can you do that a couple of games in a row without being dragging ass the way that they have the last few games? Now in the playoffs, you won't have the 3 games in 4 nights and the back-to-backs and all of that, but you sort of build up that muscle memory and that level of conditioning to be able to go into the next game and not lose all of that. So I think the Lakers will come out tonight with the proper level of intensity to get the win, D, but I think if you gave them the option of 3 seed, knock on wood, mostly healthy going into the playoffs prior to the season, they would have been like, hell yeah, sign me up for that. Like, so much of the calculation over the course of this season has been like, let's get to the playoffs with a healthy type of squad. I've lamented a decent amount, sort of the reps lost and the opportunities lost, some of the culture stuff that that we've talked about over the course of the season. Has there been enough time of this, like, ramp up, this post All-Star ramp up? Do you think that's enough time to really get the most out of this team? Especially if we're talking about maybe the last couple of games of the season, them having that off too, right? Where they're resting their bodies, getting ready for the playoffs.
It's not as much as I would like, but it's close to meeting like the threshold where I feel okay about it, honestly.
That's about where I'm at too, yeah.
And I say that based off the fact that they had a very similar stretch like this last season. And so I do think the 3 core players of Luka, LeBron, and Austin, that when you add the push that they made last year, even though LeBron was hurt after that Celtics game, it didn't get a ton of time before the playoffs, that when you include the playoffs, even though that was just a short little burst, and then you include this stretch of time, and you add in the fact that, like, Rui has been here, that I think Marcus is as plug and play a version of sort of like, in the same way that like DFS fit in like a glove in terms of the right mentality and understanding things, that Marcus is a great fit in this way, that Jackson has been here, that a lot of their guys feel like either they've had enough time together historically right? For the guys who have been here or the type of players that they are, either as a superstar or as a role player.
Very interchangeable. Yeah. Yep.
Nothing is out of the ordinary for them within the context of what the ask is for them. And that it's not like suddenly the Lakers are going to shift to being a small ball team for 35 minutes, like sort of happened last year, which I thought was to their detriment in the playoffs in that, we've done this a fair amount, but we were still reliant on having a center that we could play. That when that went away, I thought it was a great disservice to their overall infrastructure. I don't see anything like that this season that would make me second guess that they have enough time together, if that makes sense.
It absolutely makes sense. Let's take a quick break here. I want to talk about if there's anything on a to-do list for you in the last 10 games, anything you kind of want to see, any remaining unchecked boxes. Let's go to break here, come back, talk about that.
Everyone learns a language for different reasons. Maybe you want to watch K-dramas without subtitles or talk with family members in their native language. Your life is unique. Your language learning should be too. Rosetta Stone, the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years, just launched Rosetta Stone Sapphire, a new app that combines its proven immersion method with the latest innovation in technology to help you learn faster, personalize your lessons, and have more fun along the way. Most language apps teach the same generic topics. Sapphire helps you focus on what you actually want to talk about, whether that's travel, family, work, or your favorite hobbies. If you want to take your language skills to the next level, don't wait to try Rosetta Stone Sapphire. Listeners can get 20% off their Rosetta Stone Sapphire subscription when they sign up today. You'll get unlimited access to all 25 Rosetta Stone languages, plus all the new Sapphire learning tools. Visit rosettastone.com/audio to redeem your 20% off. That's rosettastone.com/audio and start learning a language for real.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around waiting for the track to dry is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at chumbacasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Why have I asked my electrician I found on Angie.com to bury my pet hamster Nibbles in our yard for me? Because I was so moved by how carefully he buried my electrical wires, I knew I could trust him to bury my sweet Nibbles after his untimely end. Nibbles. Gone too soon. May he scurry in peace.
Hey, sorry about your pet, but I just wire stuff.
Nibbles would have loved you like a brother.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
For me, I think the lead item, and frankly, there have been so many items that have been checked off over the course of this season that I'm just thrilled with how the management of this season has gone from they added zone looks, they've got a two on the ball look, they've got a multitude of personnel groupings from small ball, they've had some flickers of that, they've got DA. I wondered before the season, what are they going to do in the playoffs, if Ayton isn't on the floor? I have a much higher degree of confidence in Jackson than I did versus last year. He's seeing things earlier. He's a little bit stronger. I think he can hang as a backup five in the playoffs. And again, just item after item has been checked. I do not know what our best group is to start the second and fourth quarters. We were talking about this yesterday with Austin and LeBron. I know it's going to be built around both of them. We've seen a couple of different versions of that group. We've seen kind of the Smash Mouth group, which they tried against Detroit with varying degrees of success, but I thought contributed to the turnovers, right? So it's like LeBron, Austin, and three non-shooters. It's Jake, Vando, and Jackson in a lot of those groups in the last game that we had. Now, Rui's obviously going to be in the mix, didn't play last game. Same thing with Marcus as well. But we've seen a couple of different versions of that group, and there isn't like one like, yes, that's our five to start that period of time. Curious your thoughts on that and just anything else kind of lingering and undone in this last 10 games.
That's a great one right there. And listening to you talk about it, that might be at the top of my list as well. I think Austin and LeBron being on the court now, like we're back to that Whereas there was that little stretch of the season where it was LeBron by himself,
right,
and Austin had been extended. We'll see if they oscillate and go back and forth with that. But to me, Pete, I've always been a fan of the LeBron, Rui, Jackson trio going back to the time when all those three were able to play together at all, right? So after those deals that happened a few seasons ago now. And then if you have Austin there, the next guy that I might want would be another player who has enough ball handling and has enough defense. And that instantly leads me to Marcus.
Yeah.
That's a bench group that I would like to see play some. Now, JJ has adjusted his rotations where Jake has not been playing in the first quarter at all. And so if he's going to have a role on the team at all, it's likely going to be at the start of the second quarter. And so he's been playing in that spot instead of Marcus. And Jake is, I think, becoming a more polarizing figure amongst Lakers fans in that as his offense has fallen off, I think there's an open question about whether or not he's good enough at all of the other stuff to still have as big a role as he does. Where are you at with that?
Yes, he's somebody who I know is polarizing in part just because he misses shots. I think in the Detroit game, I think both the wins we've had against Minnesota, he's been a big contributor. He's a physical muck it up type of player. It ain't pretty. On the offside chat, I was like, I had this dog who passed away a couple of years ago, my Charlie horse, 105-pound Labrador Weimaraner mix. And Jake reminds me of like a 10-month-old Labrador in that just how he throws himself around and just kind of a little bit like the foul he had on Jenkins where he bit on the pump fake. You know the play I'm talking about? Last minute of the Detroit game, got him up in the air. And it's like, Jake stayed down. But there's an exuberance and like that's a big forward with great he's played in every single game with great motor, getting deflections. I really like Jake. I also think that he's been playing at NBA Finals speed the whole season, much to his detriment, I think, at least as a shooter. So I have a little less of a worry that he's going to dip in the playoffs as a shooter. Just I expect him to be bad in the playoffs as a shooter as well, like in the low 30s as well, because he kind of plays at that speed the entire time. And so I like Jake, and I think that there's a role for him. I could also think – I could also see in certain series – us going more toward our skill guys. But this is an advantage that we have, D. It's like if there's a series where actually we need scoring at the forward spot, but we don't want to sacrifice a ton of size, maybe you bump Rui's minutes from 22 a game to 28 in that series, 30 a minute or 30 a game in that series. But Jake, I think, really serves a purpose in those games and in those series, of which San Antonio and OKC are going to be an example of this, where it's going to be a physical fight and you're going to need guys like him and Marcus and even DA to be able to battle and use their size to be able to just get the Lakers to a baseline level in that respect for all of your skill players to be able to thrive.
I'm probably exactly where you are with Jake in that I no longer am actually worried about his shooting because it's just like he's shown that he's not a good shooter this year, right? He was a good shooter in the past in lower volume. And this season, it feels like the amount of work that he's doing on the court has clearly impacted his ability to shoot the ball well. Mm-hmm. And in the trade-off of mostly making smart decisions offensively, making quick decisions offensively, being able to bully and sort of score around the basket the way that he does, the fact that he's a good transition player, these all buttress his role to me. And does that mean he's going to be a three or a four shift player? No, I don't think that's what he's going to be in the playoffs at all. In fact, I think he's going to be a two shift player.
Mm-hmm.
But I do sort of have a baseline level of trust with him that he's going to do his job mostly. And that if he makes shots,
he's the same guy every night. Yeah. He's the same guy every night that sometimes makes shots.
And if he makes shots, it's just a bonus, but I'm sort of understanding of the fact that he might take three shots. Hopefully two of them are going to be around the basket and one of them will be a three. And if he makes the three, then it's like, great. If he doesn't, that's not the end of the world to me by any means. But to get back on topic about like those groupings to start the second and the fourth quarter, I do think that there's a lineup balance that matters there. And that if Jake is in the game, then there's a foot speed thing that happens with Rui in the game as well, where I wonder about that. But I like the Rui LeBron Jackson trio so much because I think that Jackson is the downhill sort of lob threat force. Rui can fill the lane in transition as well, but can run deep corner and can attack closeouts and can make an open three. And then you've got Austin and LeBron as like the trigger guys. Everything else to me is like, okay, well, that fifth guy has to be additive in some way, shape, or form without taking too much off of the table. That's why Smart would be my first choice.
Yeah.
My next choice might be Jake. Right. And then my next choice after that would probably be Kennard, but he takes stuff off the floor defensively in a way where he adds speed. And yeah, I think he opens up the game for you offensively, but is that group going to be able to guard? Like, I don't think so. So it starts to then tip in the other direction, if that makes sense.
Totally agree. And Kennard is a different club in the bag. I actually think Kennard will be paired more with the Luka groups at the end of the first and third quarters, that bench groups that where LeBron is off of the floor, or sometimes, you know, he'll come back at the end of the first at sometimes. But yeah, I think that Kennard will be more paired there. And then he's also somebody that I think you could put in any lineup if you're like, ah, the offense is a little constipated, we need to get things moving a little bit. And I think you could put him in pretty much any Lakers group, and he will provide that while also taking some things off of the court on the defensive end as well. Let's go to break here. Want to come back and shift gears a little bit to some NBA news.
Everyone learns a language for different reasons. Maybe you want to watch K-dramas without subtitles or talk with family members in their native language. Your life is unique. Your language learning should be too. Rosetta Stone, the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years, just launched Rosetta Stone Sapphire, a new app that combines its proven immersion method with the latest innovation in technology to help you learn faster, personalize your lessons, and have more fun along the way. Most language apps teach the same generic topics. Sapphire helps you focus on what you actually want to talk about, whether that's travel, family, work, or your favorite hobbies. If you want to take your language skills to the next level, don't wait to try Rosetta Stone Sapphire. Listeners can get 20% off their Rosetta Stone Sapphire subscription when they sign up today. You'll get unlimited access to all 25 Rosetta Stone languages, plus all the new Sapphire learning tools. Visit rosettastone.com/audio to redeem your 20% off. That's rosettastone.com/audio and start learning a language for real.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around waiting for the track to dry is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at chumbacasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Why have I asked my HVAC guy I found on Angie.com to change my grandpa's trachea tube? Because I was so amazed by how quickly he replaced our air ducts. I knew I could trust him to change Pop-Pop's tube while I was on vacation.
Make it quick, young man.
Aw, see? Pop-Pop trusts you.
I think we should call a doctor.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Expansion. Sounds like NBA is going to be expanding soon into Las Vegas and Seattle. Had an announcement today after a long stretch of rumors about that. D, I think I'm a bit on an island on this in that I thought expansion is way overdue. It is by far the longest stretch in NBA history between expansion. Last time was 2003 with the Charlotte Bobcats that later became the Hornets. And in that time, D, there's been such an influx of international talent, more than there's ever been, right? You have really the seminal event, I think, for the spread of international basketball was the 92 Olympics in a lot of ways that I think just inspired a lot of people around the world to play basketball. And the era that we live in now, it's so cool to both remember how cool that was to both remember 1992 in Barcelona and then the whole event that it was of that. But then see all of these people, like the top five dudes in the NBA are international players. And the spread of the game has been amazing. And the teams, the league has basically stayed at the same number of teams as part of this, with both of those being West in the Western part of the United States, probably looking at either Memphis or Minnesota moving over to the Eastern Conference. But yeah, I'm very pro expansion, excited about seeing where this goes. Where you at on this, Steve?
I'm more of a mixed bag on this idea, Pete, mainly because, yes, the influx of talent is exactly what you said. That talent doesn't play as much as it did 30 years ago when the league expanded, when players playing 82 games or 80 games or 75 plus games was way more prevalent. And so I think that there's been a huge influx of talent. And if you were tracking how many games that talent actually plays, you might end up closer to even than what you would expect it to be, if that makes sense.
I don't agree that it's closer to even. I agree that it's a pressure in the other direction. But I also think part of the reason guys miss games is there's a perfectly capable 11th man on our team that can be in our rotation tonight that isn't going to, you know, doesn't have two left feet, knows how to tie his shoes and walk and chew gum at the same time, you know?
I think where I land is that adding 34 or 36 more jobs to the league could be good. Mm-hmm. I definitely don't think that however many jobs are in the NBA right now, 400 and something, like I don't think it's the best 400 players in the world are playing in the NBA right now. I think there's NBA level players like old friend THT is like in Europe right now, is like a young player who could totally be in the league right now, but he's not. He's playing in Europe.
Yeah, there's probably 750 players that could play in the NBA around the world.
NBA level players.
Yeah, they're NBA level players, but they got a better offer, better job, better opportunity. Yeah.
I think where I land is I would love to see some of the league's issues cleaned up a little bit more before we invite two more teams.
Ooh, talk to me about this. What is the...
The lottery reform stuff, I think, is important. We don't know what's going to come out of lottery reform, but I do think the league needs some form of it. The number of teams that are tanking right now is like, I think, too high, honestly. And there's a bunch of games at the end of the year that don't matter as much. I also think that there's like a definite like have and have not feel to the end of the season, in that the NBA, the way that they make their schedule, they backload and backfill a lot of their calendar with higher leverage games, A, because you're getting closer to the playoffs, but B, to avoid the NFL season. There's just more sports on, and this is the NBA's time to shine, right? Mm-hmm. And this is where the league partners who might have NFL games to show or MLB games to show that, no, now their entire focus is on basketball, so let's open up and show these games. The flip side of that is, though, is that on a night where the Nets are playing the Pacers, that game stinks.
Uh-huh.
And there's at least one or two of those games every night.
But there's always been that. Like, there's always been a stinky game on in a league with 20 teams or 30 teams.
There has been. I think that when you create two new ones, though, then you're adding two more teams to the mix that are naturally disadvantaged from a talent perspective.
Yes.
There's going to be an expansion draft. You're going to move around players from the rest of the league and populate the new expansion teams. They might get priority within the draft in the year in which they select, but those teams are automatically going to be bad.
Sure.
They're not going to come into the league with a top level player or multiple top level players that allow them to compete. And so I think one of the things that concerns me from expansion is that these factors already exist in the league to a degree that I think are impacting the night to night quality.
Yeah.
When you combine the fact that I think teams are now using the 65 game rule as a floor for some of their better players to be like, all you really have to do is play 65 games. So we're going to strategically rest you. We're going to strategically have you take more games off, even if you're not hurt. Now, players have been hurt this year, right? Mm-hmm. LeBron was hurt. Luka was hurt. Cade is dealing with a collapsed lung right now. Joker had a knee issue that messed him up. Guys with calf strains, Giannis, on and on, on and on. Guys aren't missing games frivolously necessarily, but they are looking at the schedule and being like, oh, well, you've got a cushion of 5 to 10 games in terms of the 65 game rule. Where can we rest you? And sure. I think that all of that stuff is contributing to a league that is as talented or more talented than ever, and where the night to night, you can find a great game every night, but that it's not every game that is approaching that.
Sure.
And I'd love to get closer to there before you expand the league. Although I do get what you're saying too, that there is enough talent to go around, that why not go in that direction too, right?
Well, the talent is just one component of this. You know, one point that I make all the time whenever this stuff comes up, the health of the league and making the league more competitive is a separate but related topic for me. My number one thing is I believe a lot of the issues stem from too high of a percentage of the league making the playoffs. And I know I make this point every time and I always will, but this actually improves that. It's going to be a lower percentage of the league making the playoffs now. Yes, expansion teams are going to join the league and they're going to stink at first. But ideally, in within a few years, they are just in the rest of the mix with everybody else. And then you've got now 20 teams in a 32-team league making some version of the playoffs. I think that's way too many. I think if, for example, if you were to cut the number of teams that made the playoffs to like 12 or 14 instead of the 20, and you could still use the play-in type of format to determine the last couple, right? And so when I say 20 make the playoffs, it's actually 16 because they do the play-in tournament that eliminates the other four. Do the same thing, but end up with just fewer teams making the playoffs. I guarantee you start seeing way more players of the top end players, not just play for the 65 game minimum, but imagine if the six seed, for example, was the cutoff for making the playoffs and it was like 5, 6, 7, 8 to be able to compete. Top two seeds get a bye. It'd be a bloodbath right now. It'd be fucking exciting hell.
It would be ridiculous. The knives that would be out from all of these teams trying to just kill each other to get to those last spots.
That's what I'm saying. That's fun. And that's what baseball does, man. You can't both have a long ass season of 82 games and have 2/3 of the league making the playoffs at the same time. And so expansion improves that a little bit. That's not a huge part of my point, but there are multiple like health of the league types of things that a lot of the stuff you described for me, D, is symptomatic off of that. It's not the only thing, but everybody's comfortable with where they're at. The Lakers' goal before the season is like, don't be in the play-in, be healthy going into the playoffs. Get the best seed you can within that. But like, that doesn't foster this super competitive regular season. The economic reality, right? Not in terms of money, but the economics, meaning just there. Think of a game of musical chairs as if it's there's 10 of us and there's 10 chairs, we all have a seat. If there's 10 of us and 8 chairs, still only a couple of people, you're probably going to be okay. You get that down to 4 chairs, all of a sudden, that's a real competition. And so the same thing, same premise here.
The world we live in is a world of incentives, right? We live in a capitalist country. It's always going to be about incentives. Mm-hmm. And right now, I think the incentives for the length of the regular season and the number of teams who get to some version of the postseason, what you're talking about is that the incentives to play the game a certain way are sort of locked into place because, okay, well, if I'm the 10th seed, I still have a chance to get into the postseason. I also think on the flip side, the incentives to lose,
great point,
when you're out of that mix are much higher. And the flattened lottery odds also almost incentivize you to jump out of the play-in mix because you can jump up just like the Mavs just did, right? And there will be teams that are towards the end of the year be like, all right, well, and this is what sort of like the Bucks are doing right now too, right? Where they're just like, all right, we're in the mix for 10th and maybe we don't want to be in the mix for 10th. Maybe we just want to be out of the mix entirely. And then if we get some lottery luck, we can jump up. Right now, they don't control their own pick, but they'll either get their own or New Orleans pick. Mm-hmm. Both of those are on par to be a pretty good pick. So incentives are pulling, I think, teams in both directions.
Totally agree.
My argument is on one side of those incentives and yours is on the other. And I think that that's what makes this an interesting conversation, right?
Well, both are a problem, right? Like this is a multi-pronged issue that the NBA has is that if you look at the top of the league, D, how many of those teams tanked prior to being at the top of the league? The NBA will not get rid of its tanking problem until you provide teams a viable path to building a sustainable championship caliber team under the current CBA. Everything about this fucking CBA is geared toward you tank, you get a whole bunch of picks, you asset accumulate, and then you make your move and go on that. That's actually part of what I'm proud about from a Laker fan perspective, is that we're a pretty good team and we didn't do that. We didn't, like, the last time we did that was during the Lonzo, D'Lo, B.I., that part. But going from the LeBron and AD era, we didn't tank to fall back and then come back, right? Now we get the Luka trade, right? And everybody's going to be like, well, yeah, it's real easy when you get that. But that's the point that I'm making, D, is that the Lakers did not look to do that, but the vast majority of the league is incentivized in that direction. So it's like you keep complaining about tanking, but you provide teams no viable alternative to be able to build a consistent contender otherwise.
And in some ways, you're making a part of my argument, right? Which is all of these other issues exist. Let's add two more teams to that mix who are going to have to participate in that system with these same incentives that exist in place, right?
And for me, that's a separate thing. It's like, yes, I very much want to solve these things. I think adding teams are worthwhile even despite that, rather than, I don't think you have to fix that first. I think you have to fix that either way, but I just don't see them as being super related.
Yeah, and so we'll see which way it goes. I'm interested to see. We talked about the bloodbath of fighting. I think there's going to be a bloodbath of fighting too from like the Grizzlies and the Pelicans and the Timberwolves on which is the team that goes east.
Oh, interesting. Uh-huh.
Because I know that the East is better, but when you project the league forward, and this is a conversation that we'll be having multiple times in between now and the start of next season and through free agency and the draft and everything else, is the migration of stars west and the looking forward of OKC and San Antonio, and then even a player like Cooper Flagg, who got drafted into the Western Conference, and just this huge amount of like young talent that exists in the West. And if you're a player or you're an organization, are you looking at the East and being like, well, I know that Boston will be back and Halliburton will be back and yada, yada, yada. But the pathway of being like, okay, well, I don't have to deal with those two monsters, right? In terms of OKC and San Antonio, that I may not have to see them until the finals. Like, there's benefit to that. Right. And so I'm super interested to see if, I know they voted to start to take bids and everything. We'll see if those bids turn into actual franchises and if teams or potential like franchisees drum up the price as much as it needs to get to. We're talking about $7 to $10 billion for a team that has, I mean, if you get the Sonics, then maybe there's like brand recognition there from like getting the Sonics back. But if you're the Las Vegas, I don't know what their name would be.
Right.
Like, you know, you're building up from nothing and you're paying $7 billion for that. It's one thing if you're Mark Walter and you're buying the Lakers at the $10 billion valuation. It's another thing to be like, here's $7 billion to buy into like a poverty franchise with no background. Like, I don't know, man. We'll see if the money's there.
Well, that's that number. I'm talking about the bidding being in the $7 to $10 billion range. Obviously, you're going to set that a little bit high, right? To get the best offers that you can. But that stood out to me for sure. It's like, damn, this is a good investment. This is why a lot of billionaires end up buying, because, you know, soon thereafter, the thing that they bought for a few billion dollars is worth a few more, apparently. So it should be interesting to see how all of this plays out. We'll continue to cover that. Got the game tonight against Indiana, last game of a road trip. Join me on the Offside chat for that. offside.gg/beta. We are now open on Google Play. And so for Android users, if you've wanted to come join us but haven't been able to, please join us. We're available on Android. So we'll be back tomorrow, talk about how the game went and more about our Lakers. But until then, you've been listening to Laker Film Room Podcast. We'll catch you guys next time.
Baines has got it in low to McHale. McHale wants to turn. He's double teamed. Just pass out of front, broken up by Worthy. Tip to Magic. Worthy dies on his belly. Magic scores.
There's Magic, got it. Magic fires. It's good. The Lakers win the game. The Lakers win the game. Rebound to Vlade. It's on the way.
Kobe Bryant, 48 points, 16 rebounds. Shaq with his eighth block shot that ties an NBA Finals record.
A lot of Laker fans sticking around for this.
You're seeing something that's very rare indeed. A Laker to get MVP chance
right, in Boston.
In Boston.
Of all places.
Are you kidding me?
Kobe. Hard to believe.
Are you kidding me?
Unreal.
Are you kidding me?
Lakers looking to push. Bryant spinning in the lane. Back for Gasol. Pretty pass. And it's back to a three-point game.
Kobe Bryant picked up by Bell.
There's the move.
Two, one. Miss it.
Bryant. Unbelievable. It's over.
Shot clock now to five. Bryant. Yes.
And that was a little tough to Alvin Gentry.
Add insult to injury, Kobe. I mean, what a shot. I mean, you can't defend that. Are you kidding me?
2.1 seconds remaining. Denver a foul to give. Jokic trying to disrupt Rondo. He puts it in. Here's Davis. 4-3 in the win. Oh, it's good. Anthony Davis has won it for the Lakers. James again. Oh, he hits another one. LeBron James putting together a closing quarter against the Nuggets.
This historic 2020 NBA championship belongs to the Los Angeles Lakers. The Lakers conquer the bubble, and banner number 17 will soon hang in the rafters.